पेज नंबर 47, इट्स वर्स नंबर 31। जयति जयति भक्ति सर्वलोकेषु नित्यम्। जयति जयति भक्ति सर्वलोकेषु नित्यम्। तरति तरति मायां भक्तियुक्तो नरो हि। तरति तरति मायां भक्तियुक्तो नरो हि। भजति भजति लोकदृशं भक्तवर्यम्। भजति भजति लोकदृशं भक्तवर्यम्। जपति जपति देवो भक्तवर्यस्य नाम। पतिदेवो भक्तवर्यस्य नाम। जयति जयति, सो भक्ति, भक्ति मीन्स डिवोशन, ट्रायम्प्स। सर्वलोकेषु, इन ऑल द वर्ल्ड्स, एट ऑल टाइम्स, लव अलोन ट्रायम्प्स। लव इज द वन दैट इज ऑलवेज सक्सेसफुल, दैट इज द ओनली थिंग दैट इज इम्पॉर्टेंट। नित्यम, ऑलवेज, इट ऑलवेज इन हिस्ट्री, इफ यू लुक एट इट, love, especially love for God, is the most powerful force and will always triumph. When God is with you, regardless of what happens in the world, you will always be successful. Tarati tarati mayam bhakti yukto narohi. Nara means a human being who is bhakti yukta, who is endowed with devotion, crosses over maya. What is maya? Maya is the illusory power of the Lord. So when we are under illusion, when we are under delusion, when we don't have the right understanding, and when we have a lot of fears, uncertainties and problems, devotion will take us over this illusion. We'll talk a little bit about that. And bhajati bhajati loka idrisham bhaktavaryam, and this bhaktavaryam, this supreme devotee of the Lord, who loves the world, who serves the world and constantly remembers, even people worship him. Even people, at the end, they will recognize. And we'll talk about that. And then the last one is, japati japati devo bhakta varyasya nama. And even God himself, japati, chants the name of this great devotee. Even God always remembers him. He does not need to remember God. After that, God says, I am after you. You don't have to chase after me. Once he has become one with God, then God says, I am your servant. Then I take care of you. And that is what the beauty of the devotion is. Initially, you say, I am God's servant and I serve him. But once you have reached to that state of Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda, then God himself does your work, takes care of you. So let us see how love triumphs. And we have found that love is the most powerful force on this earth. If you don't love something, and if you do it, you are definitely not going to be successful, whether it's computers. I may sit down all day in front of a computer and be working all day, but if I do not love what I do, I'm not going to be successful. Sooner or later, I'm going to burn out and leave the job. If I'm a basketball player, I may get all the best coaching in the world. I may read all the books, watch the best videos, and I may even go out and practice. But unless I love the game of basketball, I'm not going to be a successful NBA player. I'm not going to be a Magic or a Michael or a Kobe. So love for God is the supreme love. And one who loves this subject, you have to develop a love for spirituality. You have to develop a love for God. As we have said many times before, God is not somebody sitting up there waiting to punish us. He loves us and we have to love him back. And when you love this literature, when you love God, when you love this path of spirituality, then slowly you will find that you will spend more and more time on this. As I was just telling her, I enjoyed reading this a lot more than I read my gastroenterology journals, my medical journal. Don't tell my patients that. No, it's the truth. Once you start this thing, it is captivating. It's so enjoyable. I mean, of course, I still practice, I still work, but I enjoy teaching this class a lot more because I'm sharing, you know, God, talking about God to all of God's devotees, whatever knowledge my guru and these teachers have given. If I'm able to share, I have fulfilled my obligation because the teachers have given us some knowledge and it is our duty to pass it on. So when you love God, when you love spirituality, when you love the spiritual path, then you will put more effort in it. Every evening you should study, you should pray, you should meditate, spend some time in doing service, spend some time in serving the world as God, not as with an attitude of arrogance that I am a powerful person and I'm helping all these, but I'm a humble servant of the Lord. The Lord has put me here. He has given me the ability to serve. He has given me the money to help others. And that is how my attitude should be. So such a person will triumph. He will succeed. And he will cross over all illusions and fears. Because in life we find that we have so many misconceptions, so many problems, so many fears. And problems come to everybody. There is nobody in this world who doesn't have sorrows, doesn't have problems. If your things are going okay for a while, then just wait. You know, things will become sorrowful. It's like two sides of a coin. You cannot say, I only want heads and I do not want tails. You have to take both. And if there are sorrows, that also will end. You know, they say, this too shall pass. You know, it's a very famous phrase. Even if there is a sorrow, don't worry, this will end. And joy will come. But a person who remembers God can cross over all sorrows. It does not mean, maybe even he may get well, you know, if he has an illness and all, but even if he does not get well, suppose he's suffering from a terminal illness or something very serious, but if you remember God and keep him in your heart, it will give you strength to handle. You know, it may not change your spouse or won't change your job or won't change, but my ability to deal with the world improves, no matter the, that's why in the Bhagavad Gita also he says, yasmin sthito na dukhe na gurun api vichalyate. One who is established in this knowledge and filled with love for God, even the world's greatest sorrows cannot, you know, deviate him. You know, Jesus, even when he was being crucified, he forgave everybody. And we have so many examples of great saints in India who were persecuted, who were tortured, who were killed, and who were harassed even by their, you know, villagers or by the, you know, by the kings and all. But they had so much faith in God that ultimately, no matter what problems came, they were able to go through cheerfully. And the whole world worships him. Think about Jesus. He has passed away 2,000 years ago. We still remember his name with love and gratitude and admiration. And we still give his example. Buddha left 2,500 years ago. And we still talk, give stories about Buddha, all the great saints, you know, look at Mother Teresa, Saint Francis, and then in India, Swami Chinmayananda and Guru Nanak and all these great saints. They passed away hundreds of years ago, but the world still worships them. Maybe at that time they were mistreated, but in the end everybody realizes that here was a true devotee of the Lord, one who left, who passed by. And their songs and their teachings and their words of wisdom, even 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, even 10,000 years from now, anywhere there is a Christian church, Jesus will be worshipped. So these people are never forgotten. The whole world worships them forever. As long as human beings are alive, these saints and prophets will be remembered. And ultimately they say even God never forgives them, never forgets them, never. Never forgets them. There is a beautiful line in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, "Ananyas chintayanto maam ye janaf paryu pasate tesham nitya bhiyukta naam yoga kshemam vaham yaham." God says, "One who remembers me and serves me and becomes my devotee, then I take responsibility for their maintenance." They don't have to worry where the next meal will come from and who will take care of me. If you do my work, then I become your caretaker. I am your guard. I am your security. I am your caretaker. I am your helper. Then God becomes his helper and God helps him in his work. And that's how Jesus only preached to 10 or 12, you know, disciples. And look at now how many million Christians there are, how many billion Christians there are. Buddha traveled maybe a few hundred miles, and now there are Buddhists all over the world, billions in China, in Japan, in Malaysia, in Philippines, Indonesia. So these saints, they become immortal. They go beyond death. Why? Because when they speak God's words, when they speak with true love and devotion, then their knowledge spreads, because then God says, it is my job now to make sure that this knowledge spreads and make sure these people reach that. So that is the beauty of this path, that ultimately they say that love alone is important. That alone will triumph. That alone will win. So let us today resolve that we shall make this our goal in life, that I have to evolve spiritually, I have to reach God, I have to know Him, I have to read. Every day we should take out some time to read some good books before we go to bed at night, instead of watching the 11 o'clock news and watching all rape and murders and shooting and killing. Let us spend some time thinking about God before we go to bed. Wake up in the morning and before you get out of bed, just chant His name. It doesn't matter what name, it doesn't matter what book, it doesn't matter what church or what building you worship. But one has to remember that one Almighty God, and keep Him with you at work throughout the day. Remember Him when you see the sunrise or the sunset or the moon or the flowers or the smile of a child. You know, constantly bring God in your heart. And that's how your heart will be filled with love. Just as a great basketball player, all day and night he's eating, drinking, thinking basketball. A computer one is thinking computer, computer, computer. A devotee of the Lord thinks God, 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 God alone. It does not mean that the person doesn't work, but his every activity is a service. So that is this beautiful text which we have just finished. Next week, we shall be starting a new text. It is called Dhyana Swarupam, which talks about what is meditation. Because this is being a meditation class, I thought we should do this. It's a very brief text, and very simply it explains what meditation is and what meditation is not. So that is what will be explained. It's only $2, so please take it. And then next Thursday, if you can read at least the first verse or the second verse, then we can meet and discuss that. So the book is available. Diana will take it from you. Any questions or comments about any of these points or any other issue you would like to discuss, feel free to bring it up.
Devotion is always victorious in all the three worlds.
Yes.
The three worlds are the external world.
No, the three worlds are earth, heaven, and hell. Earth, heaven, and hell. So what it means is a person who loves God goes beyond heaven or hell. He goes even beyond the bondages of heaven or hell. He becomes one with God. God is higher than heaven or hell. So once he becomes that, he's victorious over all the three worlds. And all the three worlds worship him. Even the gods in heaven worship the devotee of the Lord. That's what they mean by the three worlds. Yeah. But you can also say the waking dream and deep sleep. You know, those are the three worlds we go through. But a true devotee of the Lord never forgets God, even in his sleep. So that's another way. But here what they mean is that the three worlds are earth, heaven, and hell. Earth means this whole universe that we can see, and then higher and lower worlds.
And some people, when God is also in them.
True. See, because they are under illusion. See, we have vasanas. You have come here before us, your first time.
Yeah.
Your vasanas are our tendencies, you know, our habits, So we have good and bad tendencies in all of us. The difference between an animal, a bird, and a human, an animal has no choice. Animal is told, a lion has to, kill a deer to survive. Lion cannot say, from tomorrow I'm going to become a vegetarian lion, eat only grass and love all beings. No, that is not his choice. He's a plant has to grow in a particular direction, and if it has to, take away water from other plants, it will do. Because that's all. But humans are the only creatures that are closest to God. That's why they say, Bible says, God created man in his own image. Means that is the closest to God. But what God did was then gave us the freedom to choose. Just as, Adam was given, the freedom to whether to eat the apple or not. And so we are given the freedom to choose. And based on our desires, our vasanas, we make good or bad choices. So what God does, He does not interfere in our choices. He says, I have given you intelligence. You have given the intellect to think. You have been given the knowledge, you know, in the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran, all the scriptures have been given to you. The knowledge has been given. The intelligence has been given. Now the freedom to choose. But what happens is that some people, either because of selfishness or to get more power or because of misunderstanding the religion, they develop hatred, you know, either to get something from somebody or get more power or overcome somebody, or they have not understood religion and they think by killing people of another religion, I'm going to get merit and go to heaven. It's not going to happen. If you kill somebody, even whether you use God's name, whether you're doing the crusades or whether you're doing the jihad or whatever, you may say Allah 1,000 times, but if you kill somebody, Allah is not going to be pleased. So this is a misunderstanding of religion. And all the religions do that. You know, they have done it throughout history, where the Protestants were murdering Catholics in Ireland, both in the name of Jesus. Now, you think Jesus, who was the epitome of compassion and love, will be happy if you're, you know, shooting your neighbor? No. So not understanding religion properly, or out of an illusion that by hurting this person, I'll get more power, I'll get more wealth. So that is how hatred develops. So God, even the one who shoots the gun, where does he get the energy to shoot? From God. If God was not in him, he wouldn't have the ability to point the gun and shoot. The fact that he's alive and shooting, that means God is in him. But he's using the ability given by God to hurt others. Another person is, you know, the person who is shot, a doctor is now, you know, removing the bullet and nurturing him, or the nurse is nurturing him back to health. So the doctor or the nurse also got the ability to heal from God, and the person who shot also got the ability from God. It is how you use the abilities that makes the difference between a saint and a sinner. God is as much as there in Jesus as he was in Hitler. You know, God was there equal in both. It's not that he was more in one or more in the other. It's how they use the human birth to help the world or to kill. It's like nuclear energy. You know, nuclear energy is very powerful. You can use it to bomb cities like they did in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Or nuclear energy can be used to destroy cancer. You know, we use it all the time in radiation, you know, in our radiation machines. We're using that same cobalt and all the nuclear energy to destroy cancer. Nuclear energy is the same. And you cannot blame it or praise it. Nuclear energy is energy. How you use it depends on your. So same way, the ability to think and ability to function has been given by God. And God is in every one of us. Like you said, if these people don't love themselves, don't recognize God's presence, that's the only way I would hate somebody, if I didn't see God in them. But that's a very good point. Thank you.
Not the whole, the entire world hasn't become moshka, meaning that they become wise or illuminated.
Well, I think what happens is people are in various stages of evolution. See, like we are from plants, you know, you became the protozoa, then you became fish, then animals and monkeys and humans. So humans are also in a state of evolution. Some humans are still at a very low level where they think like animals, they act like animals, they hurt the other one, they grab, they attack. And then there are evolved persons like saints. So I consider saints as the highest evolution of human. And then rest of us are in between. So as people evolve, there will be more and more saints and more spiritual people. In fact, in our scriptures, they talk about four ages. There are four, each one extends for like a few million years. But the first yuga, Sata Yuga, which is called the age of spirituality, where people are very good. And then they become little bit, you know, materialistic. And then little bit more. And now we are in the fourth stage, which is the worst, where people are materialistic, they are selfish, they are dishonest, they are cheating. But the interesting point is that after the fourth one, the first one comes again. It's a cycle. It's not that after the fourth it ends. The creation goes on. And so the new age is already arising. That's why people are sitting here, because people are tired of the conflicts and the problems, and they want to evolve. And all over the world, you will find that spirituality is gaining ground. The knowledge is going. A lot of people are doing meditation. They are reading good books. People are talking about one world, one religion, one God. Those old divisions are dying. Maybe computers are playing a role in it, because the world is becoming much smaller place. Just as, you know, hatred is spreading, but love is also spreading. And we have to see which one triumphs. And I'm sure eventually love will triumph. And we will slowly, in the next few hundred years, evolve to an age of spirituality. They say in the next 100 years itself, you will see a major change in the world. Unless we destroy ourselves in the meantime, you know, if we do with nuclear, which is again not a big loss, you know, in the totality of things. There's just one little planet gets destroyed, so what? For the God, where there's millions of planets and there might be billions of such beings all over, if Earth destroys, so what? It'll start all over again. In fact, there was a very famous cartoon I had read. I mentioned that one time. This was when America and Russia were in the Cuba, you know, ready to go to war, and they were going to destroy each other. And so there was this cartoon, and there's this picture of, you know, nuclear bombs flying and buildings collapsing and the whole world being destroyed. You know, everything is destroyed. And there is a male and a female monkeys sitting in one corner and says, "Looks like we have to start all over again." So, you know, humans, I mean, if we do it, it's and as far as the totality, we are a very tiny little planet in some tiny little corner of the solar system. There are billions of such planets and billions of such stars like the sun. So if it happens, it happens. But at least you or I should resolve that we should at least not be a part of this madness, and not be a part of this violence and hatred, and spread love and compassion. And at least in my own little, maybe I cannot be like Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or, you know, Shankaracharya, but at least in my community I can spread love. At least in my neighborhood I can be a little lamp. I cannot be like the sun, but at least I can enlighten my neighborhood. So I do my part and let the world take care of itself. Whatever hatred, and somebody is even doing bad or good, there is a law of karma which will take care of him. If somebody is doing bad, the law of karma automatically takes care. There is no escaping that. So at least I have to make sure that I keep my slate clean. I don't contaminate my mind and my life. That's all I can do. I can do a little bit for myself and my community. That's all. That's the best. And then let him worry about the rest of the world. Why should I worry about what's happening in Syria or Iraq? Or can't control it. What's happening in Ebola in Liberia? You know, whatever is meant to happen. Instead of worrying about it, let me just live my life honestly. Do the best I can.
I'll be like you. But that's what she does.
Right.
And when you say your mind is contaminated, that's, I try to tell her that, but she says, "No, I'm wrong. You have to pay attention to what goes on." Well, I can't pay attention to everything goes on, but then right. You can't live.
And especially this media, see, they love, you know, if everything is going well, would you buy the newspaper or would you turn on the TV? No. They want to sensationalize. Oh, there was one shooting in Canada. They're making it out like, oh, is the terrorism coming to Canada? Big headlines and all. That's why you will buy the paper. Oh, what happened to, it was just one guy, some crazy guy who went and shot a couple of people. But the newspapers and the TV love to sensationalize. That's the only way they will sell. And what we do is we become hooked on that. We become the suckers. What you have to do is, yeah, you have to know what is happening in the world. I'm not saying that. But do not day and night spend your time worrying about what's happening. Spend more time in thinking about God than about this. Because these things will have always happened throughout history. There was always murder and rapes and violence and killing and all that. But now with the TV and internet, whatever happens within 10 seconds, the whole world knows, because the internet, you know, everywhere in the world, the CNN is there and Fox News is there. So that's the problem with the media. It's not that there is more violence or more murders. It's just, it's more sensationalized because it's readily available. 200 years ago, if somebody had been killed in Canada, would you have heard about it? No. Maybe 6 months later, somebody would have brought a news, you know, in the Canadian Parliament, there was somebody who shot. 6 months later would be old news, but now you hear it within 5 minutes. So you think that it's worse. It's just, so I think one should avoid, especially the 11 o'clock news, you should never watch, because whatever the last thought is in your mind before you sleep will play in your mind. So the last thought before you sleep should be of God. So read something good and remember him before you sleep. Or her, you know, if you worship Mother Goddess, whoever, but remember that power that's within me and that's outside everywhere. Yeah, but that's an excellent point. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I'm not even sure that for me it's good to learn about current events because I can't do anything about it. I'd rather do my studies mm-hmm. here, and maybe that's putting my hand in the sand, but honestly, what's the point? It's a big fat waste of time.
Right.
Yeah. I used to listen to news all the time and I just stopped completely.
Right.
Too much.
Yeah, but you know, some people like, for I like to be up to date. So I do read the newspaper. I don't watch TV because in the TV, they choose what they're going to show me. In the newspaper, I can choose what I, if something interests me, I read it. Otherwise, I just skim the headlines. I like to keep, but plus I think in these talks, it's good to mention,
sure.
the,
you know,
going on. But I always have been interested in the news. But yeah, but I never watch TV. I almost, once in a while, I may watch sports, and that's about it. That also not, I won't sit and watch the whole game. I may watch the ESPN highlights of the games, you know, the Sports Center or whatever. So I know what is happening, and I follow my teams and all. But yeah, if you, too much time in the TV is not good, and too much time wasted in following the news. But you don't have to know every minute.
Thing to remember is that not to worry yourself and to learn to clear your mind, or else you're going to drive yourself crazy
mm-hmm.
worrying about everything else that's going on. But there is things that we can do about
True.
Certain issues.
Right, like voting for the right person and things like that. Yes, so I think, yeah, that's good. Good point. Thank you. Yeah. You want
I
to say something?
Quickly have a different perspective on all that, but it's useful. The TV helps me out, I think, in some ways,
right.
separating me from the feelings of not loving, because I'm trying to avoid that. But when
right.
it happens to me,
right.
that's when it's a challenge.
I think that's what I had asked one of the saints, one of the teachers, how do I know that I'm evolving spiritually? They say you know you're evolving spiritually when the things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. So if you can outgrow that, if somebody cut me off, okay, he must be in a hurry, let him go. When that same thing after a while will not bother you, or somebody said something harsh in the past, you would dwell upon it and fight that person. Hold it for 5 or 10 years. You might say, okay, this person was having a bad day, or it's his problem, or it is his attitude. So when you can let go, then you know that your mind is calmer. So as you more you meditate, the more you become peaceful inside, you'll find that things that used to bother you won't bother you as much. That is a sign of spiritual growth.
But I think the fact that you even acknowledge it and
right.
that you care about it is a sign of spiritual growth. Some
mm-hmm.
people don't even acknowledge it or see, you know, think
right.
about it. But the fact that you even take time to reflect on it shows
right.
that you're
true.
Growing.
Thank you.